Hi, I'm Antonio Centeno, and you're listening to the Personal Image System Podcast. Welcome to the Personal Image System Podcast. I'm Antonio Centeno, your host and the founder of Real Men, Real Style. In this show, my goal is to help you learn to leverage the science of style to create your command presence. This is a personal image that sends the signal of confidence and trust and will help increase your earning power and attraction levels. All show notes can be found at realmenrealstyle.com, along with hundreds of videos, articles, and infographics. So, when did you become a man? Now, legally, I know most of us became men technically at the age of 18. But when did you really become a man? Have you ever thought about that? I know for me, going back, looking up, growing up in West Texas, I think it was when I had to actually be responsible for others. And those others were actually a lot of animals. I grew up on a ranch. We had horses. We had a lot of other animals, dogs and stuff like that. But it was really those horses and having to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning on cold winter mornings, go out and break the ice, make sure that they've got water, make sure that they've got grain, that they've got hay, feeding them, checking in on them. I remember one night we had a pregnant mare and she gave birth to a foal, and I'm out there all night making sure that she's taken care of. And it's responsibility, I think, that really brings forth what it means to be a man. Because to be a man is not the opposite of, or to dress like a man is, which is going to be the subject of this podcast, is not the opposite of dressing like a woman. It's actually, I think, dressing like a boy. And that's what this is all about. For you to start and to stop dressing like a boy. Because so many guys out there, and you see it, they are dressed in the same way that their son is dressed. Literally, they did not even pick out their clothing. They did not even think about their clothing. And those are things, it's like, if you're not being, and I'll get to the seven things I think that is for a man to, if he follows this, he is now starting to dress like a man, because it's not the choice in clothing. And some people are, you know, I went ahead, did a YouTube search, did a Google search, and everything I see out there about dressing like a man actually talks about particular items. That's not the case, because you can take a five-year-old and you can put a suit on him, and that doesn't mean that he's dressing like a man. In this podcast, I'm going to get a little bit deeper. I'm going to talk about the psychological effect and everything that goes into that. So you guys ready for it? Let's get into it. And if you want more, go check out the show notes. They're going to be over at realmenrealstyle.com/episode-72. But the first thing that you need to think about when you're dressing like a man and stopping dressing like a boy is to dress with intention. So I talked about that and I alluded to it just a few minutes ago when I was saying that a five-year-old, he doesn't really dress himself. He may actually put his own clothing on, but he didn't buy that clothing. He didn't choose to put it together. Oftentimes, you know, if you've ever had kids or you've ever seen them get dressed, I mean, they will wear some of the most awesome things. They will just wear a Spider-Man outfit, despite the fact that you are headed out into town and you're going to be running around. They think a Spider-Man outfit is just going to work. And you know, I think sometimes it will. And I definitely try to give my kids a lot of freedom in terms of what they can put together. But they're not necessarily dressed. I mean, they didn't go out and purchase that clothing. They may have actually, in that case, the Spider-Man outfit, I would say that's a good step. Maybe that's actually the wrong example, because maybe that's actually a step, I think, in the right direction, because they are actually, in that point, dressing with intention. But most kids, they're not dressing with the intention. They aren't thinking about what message they want to send. They're simply going with what they have available to them, and they're throwing it together without much thought. Most men, by the way, are caught up in a fashion trend. A lot of guys, if you ask them, you know, what's your style? And they're going to say, oh, I'm a jeans, t-shirt kind of guy. Maybe I'll throw a ball cap and some running shoes on. Well, if you look around on any given day, isn't that what almost everyone else is wearing? So they're not dressing with intention. They're just falling into the current fashion trend. And when you don't dress with intention, you're not sending the message that you want to send personally, professionally, whatever it is. So most men, they never take the time to examine who they are and where they want to go. And even fewer take the time to actually figure out how to dress in a manner to be able to leverage style so that they can go and get to where they want to go easier. And that is the first step, I think, in dressing like a man. It's not wearing a suit. It is actually changing the mindset so that you dress with intention. And that if you're going to wear that casual clothing, it's for a purpose, because it sends the message that even on your off days, as a lawyer, you're well put together and you look competent. That whenever you wear a uniform that you've put together and designed for your company on a day-to-day basis, you do that with intention, because you know that this uniform, even though you're a plumber, and some people would say, oh, well, you're going to get dirty, you're going to get down under there, the pipes, you understand, hey, there's an intention here. I want people to open doors for me. I want people, when I walk by, to say, hey, to flag me down saying, oh my gosh, I've been meaning to call a plumber. I'm curious to hear more. You know, where are you guys located? Can you come over to my... Basically, you are with intention sending the message you want to send. Now, number two is have the courage to lead. So if a guy walks into a room and he's in, you know, maybe with a bunch of third graders, you don't care that you're dressing different from them. But it seems like when a guy walks into a room with a bunch of his peers or with other men, he can immediately feel conscious if he's not dressed in the same manner that they are. He can feel underdressed. He can feel overdressed. But many times we want to, in a sense, be like those around us. And that's normal. Oftentimes, it's a herd mentality thing. But I think a man should have the courage to be the best dressed man in the room and to do that with intention, especially when he looks at himself and he sees that, you know, I've got a lot of ambition. And I don't know really anything from these other guys here, but if you are a consultant, there's an image of what a consultant, a successful one, looks like in other people's heads. If you were just to ask them, what's a successful IT consultant look like? They're probably, you know, whatever that image is, and the top leaders in that industry, perhaps that is how you want to dress, so that you may not be there yet. You may have just started your IT company, but that doesn't mean that you need to look like you just started your IT company and that you haven't really made much money at all yet. You don't want that. You want to come off as, wow, like after they find out you just started the business, you come off as so professional. I was like, you know, they're ready to give you more business, because that's where it's at. If you have the courage to lead, then all of a sudden, people are going to find that they're just going to trust you more. They're going to think that you're more competent. And I'm not saying you could be competent, but unless you have the courage to walk into that room and unabashed be able to say and to talk with others and to be able to say, yeah, you know, you walk into a room, especially let's say you work particularly in a company and you've got a unique position within that company. You're the creative at a company it's a construction company, but you're the guy that goes in there and you're in charge of the website. You're in charge of everything that has to do with them getting a lot of, you know, putting together the presentations that are these multi-million-dollar presentations. Even though it's a construction company and everyone else really dresses casually, you decide to bring a different type of flair. You bring a bow tie. You have those glasses that are pretty expensive, but they send that message of this guy, you know, they're red, they're blue, they're green, whatever color it may be, that you send that message, hey, I'm the kind of guy that wants people looking at my eyes. You go for that harder, you know, those very distinctive rims that simply grab people's attention. You do that consciously because you've thought about it and you have the courage to lead. Now, next up, you've got to get used to this. So you've got to practice. And you don't just practice, but you do perfect practice. Practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. And initially, you're going to feel awkward. Initially, you're going to feel conscious of this. And that's why I always recommend, you know, let's take the glasses example. If you're going to go with something that is maybe a little bit louder than what you're used to, you're going to start wearing that bow tie, start wearing those glasses, start wearing that hat, start wearing that sports jacket. Do it around your house. Do it around when no one is looking. And what's going to happen is you're going to start to forget that you're actually wearing those or that you're doing this. You're going to become used to it. Oftentimes when we start wearing something, even if no one's looking at it, we are just conscious of it. It feels uncomfortable, but it's not really uncomfortable. It's just we're not used to it. It's like going to the gym for the first time. If you're not used to lifting weights, if you're not used to actually being in and around other people lifting weights, you feel like, hey, all these people are staring at me. Well, here's the thing. When you practice, you start to discover that no one really cares about, they care about themselves. And most people are focused in on themselves. And this then gives you, when you the first time, I've talked with some guys that actually practice in and around their house wearing hats, and then they go out and they don't even think about it. And until somebody, when they're out and about, compliments them on the hat, compliments them on the glasses, compliments them on the sports jacket. And all of a sudden they discover that, wow, I do have, I do have that courage. I do have the ability, and it does look good on me. Also, they start to put together different combinations. They start to figure out, wow, I can wear this with that. Because when you practice it, there's a big difference. If you read up about riding a bike, you can do that for years. That doesn't mean that you can jump on a bike and immediately start to ride it. It's the same thing with your style and your image. You can read about combinations, you can read about certain items, but until you start to wear them, you start to use them, that is the point when you start to incorporate it into your wardrobe. Now, next up, we have experiment and measure. So you want to be trying new things, and this is very much tied into practice, but you want to try to bring in new things. You can look at examples, you can read blogs, and if you go check out Real Men Real Style, we have plenty of information. We talk a lot about wardrobes, for particular teacher wardrobes to particular wardrobes for the creative or for anyone that maybe is in consulting or banking or a lawyer. We've got a lot of that information out there. But it's really once you start to experiment and you start to measure that you actually see the results of everything that we're talking about here. So clothing affects other people. I've talked about that. I've got tons of science and studies that actually show that. But it can have a very measurable effect on earning power. I remember reading about a guy named Neil Patel, and he talked about how his closure rate, whenever he would throw out for consulting gigs, was about 25%. And he charges a lot for consulting. And one thing he started to do is he started to up his wardrobe. He didn't just dress better, but he dressed in more expensive clothing. And he started wearing things from Tom Ford. This guy spent a lot on his wardrobe. But what he found is it did have a measurable effect. He measured, and he actually runs another website which actually monitors conversion rates. So he's always measuring everything and was writing down exactly what he wore. And what he noticed over a period of months when he started dressing better and wearing clothing that really was in some ways as outlandish and as powerful as some of the dollar amounts that he was asking for, he went from a closure rate of 25% to 40%. Guys, that is a measurable effect on your earning power. Another thing to think about is how the clothing affects you. This is the science of enclothed cognition. And this is something that you can experiment with and you can measure, but they've already done the studies, if you just want to believe me. They had this one where they took a classic study, I think it was out of the university, maybe it was over in Evanston, Northwestern, and they took painter jackets, and they took doctor jackets, and they gave them to two control groups. And what they found, or they had a control, then they had one experiment group, or one group, and then another group. They had the three groups. One of them didn't have the jackets. Another one had the painter smocks. Another one had what they thought were doctor jackets. And they took an exam. And what they found is the people that were told they had doctor jackets performed noticeably, statistically much higher than everyone else. The painter smock didn't really have any effect on performance. It was the same jacket though. And what they discovered is when people were in this mindset that the clothing, that they were dressed for the performance, they actually were more meticulous and they were more careful in their exam. So if you're going to go in and take an exam, or if you're going in and giving a presentation, when you dress for the presentation, you actually wear your power suit, the suit that you know that this is the outfit I get the compliments on, you are going to have a noticeably higher performance level. And that's something, guys, which is just going to affect overall everything you're doing. Now, number five here, let's talk about building your core wardrobe. So as a man, you need to have a core wardrobe. And this is a term that I use over at Real Men Real Style. You can go type it in on my search function and learn more about it. And I'll definitely link over in the show notes, which again are going to be at realmenrealstyle.com/episode72. But in the core wardrobe, what you want to pay attention to are your base staple items. These are the items which a lot of people, when they're new to fashion and style, they think that fashion and style is getting the latest trends. That's not the case. Your core wardrobe should be just the items that for your particular career path are going to be the items that you're going to wear the most. And this could be a uniform for some men, but having enough in that uniform and always having it pressed, prepared. When I was in the Marine Corps, I had my uniform, but I had a set number of camis and a set number of boots so that I could rotate through them. And I always had something that, because we weren't out in the field much. I mean, even though I was in the infantry, I was a staff officer, and it was something I spent a lot of time in garrison, right there at the battalion headquarters, doing paperwork at a desk a lot of the time. But it was something that you did have to maintain an image. And I knew that if I was working long hours, I didn't want to spend a lot of time going through and ironing. So I did have, even though I wore a uniform, I always had enough uniforms to get me through at least 2 weeks. And the same with, you know, boots, I would spend the week or make sure that they were all polished up. Now, with your particular set of items, you want to make sure you've got your staple items. Let's say you're a consultant. Then in that case, yes, you're going to want to have your white, your blue, and your variations. I think most men should keep white, blue, and then variations with patterns of dress shirts. I mean, there's nothing wrong with actually having like 4 light blue dress shirts, 6 white dress shirts, maybe change up the style just a bit, maybe from different brands, different companies. But really, that's where it's at. And you can change up the ties, maybe bring in some pocket squares. Your suits for most of these guys are going to be, we're talking dark, solid colors. You don't need to bring in something that's a light gray with pink stripes. Yes, that may be a great looking suit, but it's going to be so memorable. It's not part of your core wardrobe because people are going to remember when you wear it. You're building that core wardrobe. These are the items that are all going to be also interchangeable. So when I say the word interchangeable, what I mean is that I could wear any suit with any shirt, with any tie, and it's all it would all mix and match. And what this does is it prevents you from having to spend a lot of time mixing and matching, and also enables you with fewer items to get more outfits out of this. So if you can imagine, if you had 3 suits, you had 3 shirts, you had 3 pairs of shoes, and they all worked seamlessly with each other, you would actually have 27 combinations. That's 3 times 3 times 3. But if those did not work, like only like of the 3 suits, of the 3 shirts, and of the 3 pairs of shoes, if they only worked with one, you would only have 3 outfits. So we went from 3 to 27 with the same number of clothing. You see how that works? So you want to make sure that everything you're bringing in there is interchangeable. Again, and this is by you focusing on the bare essentials, the essentials for your industry. Oftentimes, these are going to be in solid colors or small, very small repeating patterns. Also, you're going to pay attention to the fit. Now, number 6, the 6th tip I can give you for dressing like a man is to buy the best that you can afford. Oftentimes, when a guy starts off, maybe just graduated college, he skimps on the quality of his wardrobe. And if you have to do that, I understand, but focus on the fit. But if you are going out and you're spending $1,000 on a flat screen television, and you think that's a great deal, but you've never spent $1,000 on a suit, despite the fact that you wear a suit every day, I think that's a problem, because that suit is going to help you make a lot more money if you look the part of the success in your industry. You're going to be given opportunities and chances that you're not. That flat screen television is going to be outdated probably within a year. And yeah, you may spend a lot of time on that couch watching it, but gosh, is that really going to advance your career? I don't know. I'm really biased. I don't even have a television, but I do think that you need to look at, like, on a monthly basis, are you spending a lot of money on beer, on toys for your truck or your car, your motorcycle, and, you know, maybe on unhealthy food? You're spending more on that stuff than you are on budgeting away for your wardrobe. And I do think that a man every month should have a set amount that's going into a savings account so that he's budgeting a couple $100 at least for upping and improving his wardrobe. Because you don't want to just, let's say you bought that suit and it was, you know, a $200 suit. It fits you well. But the problem is it's still a $200 suit and it's not going to be made from the best fabric, the best material, the best thread. And it will start to wear and tear. And those in the know who are usually at the top of your company are oftentimes going to pick up on, yeah, he pays attention to fit, but it's still, you know, it's still a lower quality suit. And you do want to try to upgrade. You want to look to dress for the position that you see yourself moving into, not necessarily the position that you have now. And it's a balance. I'm not going to say that you should overdress. That is a mistake as well. But you can look, you can dress casual, you can dress well, and you can oftentimes do that when you start to upgrade to better polos, to better casual shoes, to better jeans. Those type of things do matter, guys. So finally, own less, but everything you own, you want to love. So I know I was just on a trip and it was funny. I was looking at everything that I took with me on my trip. It was all interchangeable. It was all of high quality. And I love every, it was hard to choose actually what to wear because I'm looking at one shirt and I'm like, man, I think I'll get a few compliments on that one, but that one will get me a lot more compliments, but that one's going to be a little bit more, I think, memorable. I don't know, you know, do I want to wear it at this event and draw attention to myself? I mean, those are good problems to have. And part of that is just simply, I've followed my own advice. It's not something that happens overnight. Again, everything I'm talking about here and dressing like a man is something that you go in with intention, you practice, and you apply everything I've talked about here. And you realize and you face the reality that in many ways, society has lied to us. It's tried to tell us that what we look like shouldn't matter. And I agree that it should matter, but it does matter. And you need to use it to your advantage. Now, do not judge others based off appearance, but understand that most people will judge you based off the way you look. And if you face that reality, I think it's pretty empowering because you're able to look past the appearances of others and be able to spot the, you know, the diamond out there in the rough that just has it, you know, the piece of coal. Don't mean to equate human beings to pieces of coal, but many of them, you know, people can't see the diamond within. And when you pay attention to, and you understand the power of style, it allows you to be able to see past it as well. And then other people are going to be approaching you. And then you're not going to use it as something that holds you back. So guys, learn to dress like a man. Stop dressing like a boy. Stop dressing like a kid and learn to use style to your advantage so you can get what you want out of life. Guys, if you want to learn more, again, go check out the show notes over at realmenrealstyle.com/episode 72. Thank you for listening to the Personal Image System podcast. If you would like more information on men's style, business communication, and grooming, go check out realmenrealstyle.com. There, you're going to find my free ebooks and our premium courses to help you take action on the information that will improve your life. I'm Antonio Centeno, and until next time, stay stylish.